you know, I just share a couple of things. One is, I'm speaking to the choir here, but I thought I'd share a few words about why you might want to get engaged in sort of your own personal media relations strategy. I know quite several of you in the room already do that. And then also talk about some of the downsides of doing that. But why? I think there are academic reasons, actually, especially if you're talking about research that you've done. You know, I think it's just anecdotal evidence, but I think it can increase citations and readings and downloading of your work. And there's certainly some evidence of that in high-profile blogs. You can see, like, if you know, get picked up on a Marginal Revolution or a, you know, Freakonomics blog, you know, there's pretty big spike in downloads. They've never picked up any of my work, but you know, there is evidence, I think, that if you're able and willing to talk about your work, that it can sort of enhance your exposure. I mean, the other reason, frankly, is, you know, we want to make sure the kind of stuff we're doing is having some real world impact at the end of the day. And I like to tell my, you know, graduate students when I would teach them that if you just end up writing a dissertation that sits on a shelf in a library, it didn't do anybody any good. So if you're going to go to all this work, make sure it gets in front of people that can see it. So I think those are some of the main, at least my own personal motivations for sort of getting involved there. I would also say, I mean, it's there's some downsides. I'd say the rewards internally to academic institutions aren't often there to do that. If you're expecting to get a good big pay raise or your dean to come pat you on the back, you know, that may not happen. In fact, sometimes they won't like you to do it because it's going to raise controversy. Often people call because they want to talk about something controversial. And so there's that. And then, of course, there are opportunity costs. Time you spent doing that, working on these activities, is not free. You got to give up other things. And I think, as our, you know, media friends will probably tell us, often they're on tight deadlines. So when you get a call, or you get a note from a producer, they want you to be on TV. It's they want you there, and, you know, can you do something in an hour? Can you do something tomorrow? So it's, you know, those of us in the academic world are used to having a little more flexibility with our time, and that's not always the case. You have to be willing and able to deal with that. And so, you know, I've got a number of sort of tips and strategies that I use, but maybe I'll hold those, and they might come up in some Q&A.
All right, Jason, thank you very much. Next is Craig Gunderson. He's Soybean Industry Endowed Professor in Agricultural Strategy at the University of Illinois. His work concentrates on the causes and consequences of food insecurity and on the evaluation of food assistance programs with an emphasis on SNAP, which, in case you've been under a rock, you've noticed it's been a bit of a hot topic, especially as the debate ramps up on the 2018 Farm Bill. Craig's been interviewed hundreds of times, he tells me, for local, national, and international outlets in print, radio, and television. And you know, Jason mentioned the talking on a controversial topic. I recently had Craig speak with a talk show radio host in Las Vegas on a paper that he did on SNAP. And this host, we'll just say that she certainly had an agenda and her own point of view on SNAP. And what Craig did, I listened to, it was a live interview, and what Craig did was, I wish I could have recorded it, because I would have sent it to everyone as to the way to keep any interview fact-based and knowledge-driven. And it was a very impressive piece of work, especially when the host wanted to keep steering it towards a certain direction. So, Craig, with that glowing recommendation, I give you the floor.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you, Jay. I wanted to, in addition to what Jason said about the importance of this, is at least I found at Illinois and other land grants, is they really want you to be out there as much as possible in terms of being visible, and this is one way that you can be visible. I've also found that, especially for more junior faculty, is oftentimes, you know, the question becomes is, why is your work important? And one way you can say, well, my work is important because people seem to be interested in the media. So I think from that standpoint, it's also important. I was going to, some of the things that I had made some things to talk about that we can talk about throughout the day was, you know, how one goes about securing these interviews. I think that's really a critical component that's oftentimes overlooked in terms of how we get that, how one tries to be responsive in terms of these interview requests, because I would imagine a lot of, I really, really try hard to be responsive. I would imagine a lot of people in academia aren't so responsive. And then some thoughts about the interview itself, like what works well, what doesn't seem to work well, and coming back to the thing that Jay just discussed, you know, so how to make sure things don't go off the rails, you know, unless you want it to go off the rails, but you know, just in terms of trying to get that done. And then just the follow-up is thinking about, like, after you do a particular interview, to some of the things I think to look for in terms of what may have worked, what didn't work, how you can do better, you know, next time.
Hmm. All right, well, Craig, thank you very much. Now to the journalists on our panel, we are very appreciative that you are both here, like I mentioned, both in either the agricultural or economy or ag econ fields. Sarah Muirhead is the general manager of the Informa Farm Progress Livestock Group, and editor of Feedstuffs. You know, when she sent me some information, I wrote, Sarah, it truly is part of her work. She grew up directly involved in her family's seed and pork production operation in Northern Illinois. She has a bachelor's degree in agricultural communications from the University of Illinois and has 30 plus years of editorial and communication experience. And as I mentioned to her earlier, you may have seen her around sessions at this year's meeting. It seems like every time I go into a session, I see Sarah. She's been everywhere. And so, Sarah, thank you so much. And is there something you'd like to start us off with at all? Or?
Well, sure. I'll just explain a little bit more about our operation. So Farm Progress Companies, we're a publishing company based out of St. Charles, Illinois, which is just west of here. We've got 17 state and regional publications. We also have national publications. We have Farm Futures magazine, Corn and Soybean Digest. I manage the livestock side, which is Beef Magazine, National Hog Farmer, and Feedstuffs, which I also am editor of on Feedstuffs. So we are the largest ag publishing company in the nation. We were purchased back in December by Informa, which is a big publishing company out of London, and you probably recognize the economic side of Informa. So we've got a lot of resources available to us now, which is pretty exciting for us. We do a number of shows. We're in actually more industries than just agriculture, too. I'm just involved on the ag side. So many different areas that we touch. So just to give you, you know, a little bit of background, we've been, it's one of the things publishing companies are doing nowadays. They're trying to get into various aspects of it. So we have broadcast. We've got Max and Orion, they do This Week in Agribusiness, which is a TV show we do. They do some radio stuff for us. So we're across the board in all different kinds of media sources.
Sarah, again, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. And then last but certainly not least, Jeffrey Cate. He started his career as an academic. Proof that you can go to the dark side, I guess. He was a professor of literature at Yale and moved on and founded a magazine. And then last year, Jeff founded The New Food Economy. It's a nonprofit independent newsroom that uses reporting to uncover the forces that shape how we eat and what we eat. It's a digital publication. It is free. You will find it at newfoodeconomy.com. And Jeff came all the way to Chicago from New York City to see us. So, Jeff, we appreciate you being here and being on the panel.
Thank you. It's my first time, and I'm learning all the time, so it's great to be here. I'm the newest kid on the block in terms of my project, which the newfoodeconomy.com has been publishing for about a year and a half. And it comes from the idea that there's a great curiosity among consumers as well as producers as to what's upstream of the plate in a way that just was not before. And that basically I saw food journalism mostly as being in two camps, either the gastronomic, culinary, hedonistic, happy farm stories. I remember when I was in Maine, I spent couple of years in Maine covering farm-to-table scene there, which is incredibly robust. And there was one farmer I was talking to, Heather Retberg, who said, Jeffrey, enough with the happy farm stories. I thought that was profound. And then there are the publications like Zara's and trade publications and entrepreneurial publications. Entrepreneur, Fast Company, Inc., each one has to have at least one food story every issue now. I think food is really the poster boy for entrepreneurship. So that's all fine. But what we're appealing to is how people can understand better what the gears are, what the workings are between the farm and the plate, and see it less as food journalism about an object, but looking at food journalism as a sector like healthcare, which is incredibly important, incredibly crucial, complicated, and involves monetary relationships. But that would be read by the general public, and most of our readers are they're informed consumers, they're policy and investment types, and frankly, they're the press, the more general press, because we're a niche publication. We're interested in the supply chain, what's in between the farm. We consider that the most opaque part of what food is about and the most fascinating part, and we like to shed light on those issues. So we're interested in labor, economics, entrepreneurship, policy, and how all that mixed with the cultural forces that are so powerful today in terms of how people want to understand food. So it's interesting. The Pulitzer Prize was given to the Associated Press about slavery and shrimp in in the Southeast Asia. The Tampa Bay Times went viral about the whole claims of local restaurants claiming local products, but that reporter, by dint of shoe leather, ran down each reference and found most of these claims to be completely bogus and outdated, if not purely fictional. So that's what we write about. We try to write about it in a crisp and engaging way. And other media outlets tend to pick up our stories. Washington Post just picked up a story we did about horse slaughter and gave us credit. The Times, NPR, Vice, all those places. So that's what we like to do. We like to tell those stories and make the food system tangible.
Jeff, thank you very much, and thank you again for being here. And something that that Jeff was just talking about is, food. Agriculture. These are things that are very important and growing in importance and growing in popularity. Both topics. And, that is part of the reason that we have this Communicating Out session. And I have found over the last 2+ years now that our members have not only a wealth of knowledge, but a great way to help out folks like Jeff and Sarah. And it is the reason that we're doing this, that we're doing the strategy. And it's the reason that we're doing this session, to try to help members learn a little bit more, or to start from the ground up. There are some that I've spoken with that had never even considered speaking with a reporter before, and there are others who are partially seasoned, and some that love it but are always trying to find new ways to communicate their message.